Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
And we're here to look into, well, Star Wars in the future. We're talking 2022. When the new movies are coming, Dan and Dave are going to get at least one. Oh, Uncle Bob. We'll dive into all of that here today and talk about our own Star Wars ventures, some news as we race towards episode 9. Things are coming out slowly but surely. We are here, but I want to remind you today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. All right, a little bit later, our 4center recommends is here. I am distracted because, Jen, you brought a friend today.
I did.
I love it.
Oh, yes, I have a little Mala Tobuk. We call her Mala. She is sitting in my lap. She's our new puppy.
Yay. And by R, you mean you and your families,
yes.
not Four Center puppy,
right,
which
exactly.
I'm open to.
Four Center team puppy.
Yeah. And I'm realizing now, I'm like, Actually, she comes from...
Sorry, she's staring at me. Yeah.
she comes from
something interesting. I dare you.
A woman who she trains them to be like therapy dogs.
Aww.
Yeah, because and I'm now realizing as she's sitting in my lap that's a good idea. I could be like Carrie mm-hmm. Fisher was taking Gary with her everywhere. Like,
yeah,
I really
yeah.
I like that.
Instagram feed going. We'll get Mala to be a celebrity dog.
Yes. Yeah, Mala is very very peaceful.
She's yes. very calm. Yes. Yes. So
I'm gonna fall asleep looking at Mala.
She's in Mama's arms. Yeah. That's so good. So, well, that is quite an adventure update.
Yeah.
You.
That was my Star Wars weekend.
That was your Star Wars weekend.
It was your yeah. Star Wars and life adventure, getting a puppy, and not naming it Max Rebone,
well,
but rather Mala Toba.
I know. We were all set to get the boy. And my husband's like, okay, I'm on board. Max Rebone is it. It is. And we get there, and he was gone. So he had already been adopted. So I was like, ah, man, all right. Well, let's see. So then I'm like going through all the Star Wars names. Is
yeah.
she a Jin? No. Maz Panada? No. Mala it is.
There's always room for more dogs.
Yeah.
Max Rebone is on the board.
Yes. Exactly. He'll be next. Yeah,
that's quite an adventure.
Off with the Cy Snoodles dog, whatever yeah. that dog is called.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Brian Ward, who came up with the greatest mock-up of Max Rebone.
Yeah.
He did his little design.
Design.
Yeah.
Oh, he's amazing.
That.
Amazing.
It was beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Cy Snuggles. How about that?
So, there you go. Oh, yeah. Now you need one.
Oh, yeah. This is it. I'll get a dog now. Yes. Take on the responsibility.
A lot of responsibility.
Oh,
speaking
gosh.
Of responsibility, you've had a lot recently. How was your life?
Oh,
going?
Fine. Fine. Yeah. It's been a busy, busy week. Lots of shows and lots of deadlines and stuff. But I did have time to relax. I saw John Wick. Chapter 3, which is very enjoyable, makes me want that John Wick Jedi movie even more. I got distracted in the middle of the John Wick movie thinking about, they should do this. They're not going to do that right now.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Game of Thrones, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit in context of our larger discussion. But I had a lot of fun trying to celebrate Phantom Menace on Sunday with everything else going on. Played Battlefront 2 and tried to make sure that I played with Phantom Menace characters in Phantom Menace spaces. And in particular, I posted on Instagram, I had a nice moment where I was running around in the throne room as Darth Maul on Naboo and came across Padme's portrait. And I felt this is a beautiful moment of reflection. 20 years later, I couldn't imagine playing a video game. Looks so good. So, you know, realistic Darth Maul staring at a portrait of Padme. That's the Phantom Menace.
I love that Padme portrait in there. I think every time I stumble onto it, you just kind of like, you have to stop. You have to pay respects to the Queen.
Exactly.
The Queen. Well, that's a fun Star Wars adventure. I didn't have much other than traveling, which seems like, seems like you're in a Star Wars adventure, going through a cantina airport. And everything was out in Houston, thanks to anyone who was out there for the comedy shows or the live movie trivia showdown. I met some Force Center fans, as we always do on these things, and it's a lot of fun to chat with you all and occasionally accept a drink from some of you or occasionally say, I cannot accept that. This is one too many. A lot of fun, and, everything was good. Travel's good. Lost a suitcase, but 10 hours later, back in my...
You found it?
We were reunited.
The cycle of life.
The cycle of life. Felt so good.
The balance of the force.
Yeah. Oof. So that was it. I was hoping, apologies to not getting a Star Wars ranked out. I brought my little portable microphone and was set to record. I had nothing to do on the Saturday morning there, and I was like, this is perfect. And I woke up like 1 p.m. And it wasn't like we were out late. I don't know what happened. And they're the best blackout curtains I've ever had. And I thought I woke up at 7 a.m. and I was like, oh, this is kind of early. I go back to bed. Turns out it was 1. So I had to get up and go to the show.
Wow.
So I guess I needed it. But we're here. You know what we need? Star Wars news catch-up, Jennifer.
That's right. Not a lot. A little trickle, but we'll take it. Star Wars maestro John Williams has seen the first cut of Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, and he likes it. Williams spoke with the Times UK recently and gave a little update on how things are going with the scoring of Star Wars. So far, he has written about 25 minutes of the score in a month, and he likes what he has seen, quote, very much. He also shared the difference between how he used to compose scores back in the day and now. Williams said he spends less time daily on his work than he did back then, partially because his many years of experience has made him more efficient. Ever a humble man, Williams said, quote, I don't write any better than I did 30 years ago. Maybe not as well. I probably know more than I did 30 years ago, but I have less physical energy. Excuse me. End quote. And while his fans may think of him as a legend, Williams says, quote, "I can't take any of this terribly seriously because I'm a musician standing on the shoulders of what people have done in other centuries of music," end quote. The man is 87 years old, and he is still cranking out those hits. You know, I was wondering, I was like, has anyone done a really good documentary on him? I'm sure there has been, right?
I'm sure there's been good documentaries. Like his concert last year at Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, he had Steven Spielberg kind of host it, and it had a little bit of shape of a documentary. Obviously not as long, but Spielberg really framed his career. And really framed how he changed, you know, the relationship between popular music, movies, and, you know, classic orchestral music.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of juicy things there. I think we're going to be seeing, you know, a lot of John Williams movies eventually.
I hope
Ashton Kutcher is going to play John Williams someday.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because to learn more about his, like, his process, I think would be really fascinating because he is, like, he is, in my opinion, like a modern-day Mozart. Like, how much he's changed music and how prolific he is. Everything he does is brilliant.
Yeah,
that's a great point. That's what I'd want to learn the most from anything. A documentary, a good sit-down interview with him is like, I know you can't explain creative genius sometimes, but how do you do that? Right. How do you Ray's theme, which, you know, you see Ray and you see Daisy Ridley play Ray and you fall in love with this whole character and you come up with that and it seems to fit, like, it's just, I can't comprehend it.
His whole relationship with Ray is just so great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which makes me excited that he's like, I like these first 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Because even at that concert, the piece he chose to play is the piece that accompanies, you know, I Will Not Be the Last Jedi. Mm. The Rebellion is Reborn, because he was like, ooh, it means there's more. And like, he seems so invested in that spirit, that idea that he must be like connecting with that emotionally.
Right.
Yes. To write the music, which is so awesome. Mm.
Yeah, and I love that it's out there. I love that he's seeing it. And to those, you know, hey, what else is he going to say? Well, sure, but if you dig in, you get excited.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, if you plan on flying out of London anytime soon, Virgin Airlines has announced a once-in-a-lifetime vacation to Galaxy's Edge in Florida. Here's what's included in this special package. A special themed charter flight to Orlando. Private access to explore Galaxy's Edge for 1 hour. Excuse me. A Star Wars themed dinner with character experiences, including a special talk with a Galaxy's Edge Imagineer. A Star Wars themed dessert party. I know, right? Yes. That's going to be hilarious. Yes. A 7-night stay at the Walt Disney World Resort. Disney park tickets, a Disney dining plan, and more surprises. This curated and themed holiday experience will take off between February 15th and 22nd in 2020. I have no idea how much this costs.
Oh, they didn't say?
I mean, I guess I could have gone to the website. I didn't even bother looking, but just from the news release, they didn't list it. So you know what that means.
It's a kidney. Yeah.
It's one kidney. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure if, like, you can be an American and then go to London.
Sure.
If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if you have to, I mean, what are they going to do? They can't enforce that, right?
Like, I don't know.
If you're willing to shell out all that money.
Yeah.
It can't be, yeah.
It's just a flight, right?
It's a flight with the package.
Yeah, but there's no reason you couldn't fly there and fly back, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I just want to know what this Star Wars dessert party is going to be like.
Oh, yeah. Some BB-8 cupcakes or something. Yeah. But gotta be good. This whole thing reminds me, every once in a while a friend takes me to this whiskey bar he's a member of, and they have like $300 bottles of whiskey, and then there's ones up there that just says Inquire.
No.
And this is whole thing reminds me of Inquire. If you're asking, you can afford it.
It all does sound so fancy, too. So maybe it actually will be, but it could be like, you know, Hostess fruit pies with BB-8 drawn on them, in a little wrap package, you know?
Oh, gosh. Right. And I love the theme dinner with character experiences, which is basically like Goofy's Kitchen. Just probably a fancier version of that, where, you know, maybe Chewie will come walk through the restaurant, sign autographs, take pictures.
Like, get some hair in your food.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
I mean, it's like if you're sitting with a stormtrooper, they can't eat. They're sipping a blue milk latte or something. There.
Yeah. That's right.
Interactive dinner theater.
They're just walking through.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, man, it makes me laugh. If you've got some extra credits stashed away, you might find this interesting. RR Auction are currently accepting bids on blueprints of the iconic vehicles from A New Hope. These designs are the work of Steve Gawley, a visual effects artist who worked on the film. And there are three blueprint drawings. One is a TIE fighter, Luke's X-34 land speeder, and a Y-wing. Mm. If you're interested in placing a bid right now, the bidding war is at $1,065.
Oh, that's cheap compared to the Virgin Flight dessert experience.
Yeah, this is a deal. But yeah. It did make me think. I was like, I wonder if they'll show artwork like this at the Lucas Museum. I know that, you know, George is going to have Norman Rockwell's and things like that. But I do hope we kind of see some things like this as opposed to just for this stuff going to private collectors.
Oh, yeah. You know? I'm sure that Lucas himself still has some things that are intended for the museum.
Right. Yeah. One would think.
I mean, hope and think. Yeah. I know he's got it. I was just going to say he has a weird relationship with Star Wars. I don't think he does. I don't think there's been weird little points in the last couple of years.
Yeah, but I think so.
He's still very proud of it and obviously talks about it. So I know it's not a Star Wars museum.
Right.
But that would be a lost opportunity. Yeah,
there's going to be some Star Wars there. And, you know, the great thing is if he's building the museum and he decides, you know, I would like a blueprint of a land speeder, he has $1,000.
How could you imagine?
He can just buy it.
$1,000 for that.
It's a little high, says George Lucas.
I love it. I would love to have something like that on display. That's like thing. I know there's some blueprint T-shirts out, or not blueprint teeth. Well, maybe there's, but like the storyboard T-shirts are popular now. But to actually have like this is how they made them.
Wow. Original blueprint. Yeah. I don't know how they didn't say how they acquired this. Maybe it's from Steve Gowley himself.
Yeah.
I don't know. They did not say.
Mm-hmm. Mysterious.
Well, the most talked about news of the week came from IgerCon. # IgerCon. Bob Iger held a Q&A conference call where he addressed the upcoming untitled Star Wars films and gave more information about upcoming Star Wars streaming service live action series. Iger confirmed that the next untitled Star Wars film in 2022 will be written and produced by Game of Thrones showrunners David Benioff and D.B. Weiss. Iger also shared that fans can expect one more live-action Star Wars series to come to the Disney Plus streaming platform beyond the Cassian Andor series and The Mandalorian. Iger then firmly stated that was all he was going to divulge at the moment. No more.
Yeah.
But first, before we talk about Dan and Dave, which is our main topic, I'm curious to know what you guys think that the live-action series might be. The third one.
I don't know if I have any guesses. I hope and want it to be the Obi-Wan Kenobi story.
Yeah. It's the most logical.
Yeah, and I think I'm so clouded by that desire.
Yeah, our judgment is clouded by Ewan McGregor in beautiful beige robes.
Yeah, it's like I can't see anything else because that's all I want, which is dangerous. It's some sort of attachment.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think it absolutely could be, you know, a million different things. It could be live action Hera and Jason Syndulla adventure. Who knows? Yeah. It could be anything. But I think I just really wanted to be Obi-Wan Kenobi because I believe the rumors that project was pretty far along.
Mm.
And I feel like that it's a great compromise if you go, man, this isn't the direction we want to go to for the movies, but that doesn't mean these kind of stories can't be told.
Right.
And here's a great place for it.
Yeah, I like that idea of like, all right, fine, you know, we'll give you some new stuff. Not that they're saying it in that tone, but the movies can take you to brand new worlds, and we'll let the fans who like to jump back into the characters they love have a little TV show.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, I feel like this would be, the majority of the fans would be ecstatic, and Lucasfilm would be giving the fans what they wanted. Mm. And at this point, I'm just like, if they want eyes on that streaming service, that is going to bring them old fans, new fans.
Yeah.
I just think, I mean, Ewan McGregor is obviously a huge star in his own right. So I just think it would be a really smart business move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it is just to me that ticking clock of Ewan McGregor, which we've talked about before too, of like, if you're going to do I would love to see a haunted house story, you know, in the Sith temple, all sorts of things that we've talked about a million times, but you can make that any old time.
Right.
Ewan McGregor is the perfect age for only so long.
Exactly.
Right.
Stupid reality of time and space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is the news for this week.
Which
Ladies. to our next topic.
It's going to, yeah, we're going to dive on in here to the news that Dan and Dave, as somewhat expected, are going to be developing a series of movies, and they're first out of the gate, and whether that means Ryan's still going after or working with them, we're going to be talking all about that and just what it might be. Big speculation. But before we do that, we want to recommend an audiobook for you, Joseph, this week. Well, it's homework for everyone.
Yeah, we are recommending Master and Apprentice by Claudia Gray. We're going to be doing a review soon, so give it a listen. And also, give it a listen because I think it's awesome and I can't stop thinking about it. And I want other people to be thinking about it, too.
Yes, we'll be doing that review soon. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/4Center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4Center for your free audiobook. And now we're taking a look to Star Wars of 2022.
Yeah, we're going to dive in, and I want to start with the caveat that sometimes we kind of joke of like, oh, we only get so many Game of Thrones references per show. This yep. is indeed a Star Wars podcast. We are talking about Star Wars, but I think it's impossible to talk about this subject without talking about Game of Thrones. Yeah. So to me, I vote in our triumvirate for waiving any need to say, I'm sorry for talking about Game of Thrones. It's kind of baked into this subject matter.
Fair enough.
And I would also say that probably spoilers.
Yeah, that's fair.
Most of the world has, we're recording this on Monday, it will be released on Tuesday. I feel like the vast majority of the world has watched Game of Thrones. So I think we're just going to be open with the spoilers up through the end. Does that make sense?
I think that's 100% fair and legal.
Yeah.
That's our limit liability release has been put out there into the world.
Nice and signed. So let's get into this. Dan and Dave, Benioff and Weiss doing Star Wars. I want to just start with Iger Khan. How do we feel about the big news being dropped? It was an investor call in particular, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. So there are many different kinds of IgerCon, right? Yes. But it from a fan perspective, in some ways, it does boil down to he was talking to somebody about money and ensuring them that things are going well at Disney and doles out this information, and then we get it. How do you feel about it being dropped at IgerCon, Jennifer?
I do wonder. I mean, I feel like... You know, it's complicated because I don't know what their motivation is. But I think that if they were to have some big fanfare, like the next Star Wars movie is coming from Dan and Dave, and then they got the reaction that they got online, which was very mixed, they might be worried. There's something kind of like slipping it under the radar a little bit by doing it with IgerCon, even though we're all going to find out.
Yeah.
You know, he's telling his money people... who maybe they're fans, but it's not going to be the same kind of like, oh my gosh, Star Wars is ruined kind of reactions.
From the investors?
From the investors. You know what I mean? It's a safe crowd.
Right.
So I don't know. Or maybe he just is like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do and doesn't even tell anyone.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like that he has the power to just decide what information comes out when and how.
Right.
But we have the power to react as fans. So, Ken, how do you feel about it?
I mean, when you coined the phrase IgerCon, it just was the perfect thing. It's like this. It's everything because you're right. It's different. Sometimes he's down at a Ramada Inn speaking at a business conference and everything, and it's a reminder of who's at the top, love it or hate it. Yeah. It's his ship to steer. I don't know for a fact that Lucasfilm doesn't know this stuff's coming. Sometimes you get a sense that they don't know it's coming. And going back to something you had talked about on the show a while ago, Joseph, about if they did the Marvel reveal of here's the next 5 years at a El Capitan event.
Yeah.
That's cool. But to your point, Jen, maybe this particular news story wouldn't be met with thunderous applause. So maybe this is a backdoor channel kind of Bob's going to say it.
Yeah.
So overall, as far as I'm fine with it. I like when we just kind of start to know.
Yeah.
And that speculation of what's next.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is in the category of just you have to accept it the way it is, but I am sort of amused by it. Because on the one hand, like, yes, they are money people, ultimately. I do think Bob Iger wants to make good creative content, but for the sake of this discussion, on paper, Game of Thrones is killing it, regardless of how heated the fan reaction is. So for people looking at numbers on paper, this is all great. But from such a fan relation perspective, it's almost funny to me that the first announcement of Dan and Dave was this kind of fan relation mess, because I believe that was the one that was on International Women's Day.
Yes, it was.
Where, you know, fans have been clamoring for it. We'd love to see more diversity. And, sure, here you go. On International Women's Day,
right.
Here's Dan and Dave. And I think we talked about back then, of like, well, maybe people would have been more excited if it had been a little bit better handled than that.
Right.
And then, again, of like, they have run the most popular show in the world for almost a decade. And this announcement comes during the time when it is the most questioned and debated whether that show is still good. It's just, I don't know, it continues to just be like, it's all fine on paper, but in terms of fan relations, it's kind of almost humorously just continuing to put your foot in a bucket and tripping around the room.
Mm-hmm. It's a little cursed at times. Yeah. It's a little cursed at times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. It isn't going to change the reality, but there's a part of me that just wishes that the way the information got doled out would create fun mystery and suspense instead of confusion.
Mm.
I don't mind getting half information, but we get this kind of half information that makes us feel just sort of, confused rather than intrigued.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. I'd like a little bit more just cold, hard facts sometimes.
Yeah.
Do I need Bob Iger to announce Dan and Dave are doing the first film and it is about this? Not necessarily that, but then you're left to wander in the wilds.
Yeah, yeah. But there are a lot of questions, I think, because of the way they announced the dates and they announced Dan and Dave are doing the first one. It opens up lots of questions, and we're going to dig into some of those. But first, I just want to ask, how do you feel right now, personally, about these two creators tackling Star Wars? Ken, you've been a big Game of Thrones fan for a long time. I'm sure, like all fans, you've had your loves, you've had your criticisms. Where are you at right now?
I'm still on board for it. And we'll get into some of the details of that, but I think them helming the project, but not necessarily doing things on a lower level all the time. I'm curious to see if they get a team going, but I still think at the end of the day, they took something that George R. R. Martin intentionally created to not be adapted. And I've said that many times. I wrote this because I hated Hollywood. I was burnt out from working in it. And they did a really good job of taking an unruly, unwieldy story and trying to put it down. So I'm excited. And plus the way it looks, if they bring a lot of their team, then we might get an interesting looking Star Wars.
Okay.
Is where I'm at now. Right?
So you're excited by their skills of storytelling.
Yeah.
And in particularly adaptation.
Right.
And visual acumen and the team they've built up around themselves.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Yes.
Jennifer, how about you? How are you feeling personally right now?
Yeah. It's complicated. Obviously, there are perhaps other directors that I would have liked to see tackle Star Wars first, but at the same time, I mean, I've been a Game of Thrones fan since the beginning, read some of the books, and what they have done is in television and how they've changed television is pretty incredible. They're great storytellers, and so I have some criticisms, but I'm hopeful and I'm excited to see what story they want to tell, what is moving them. And what they're going to bring. Like you're saying, the skill, the people that they have hired for Game of Thrones. Oh, if they can bring those people to Star Wars, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, just the costumes alone.
Production design.
I mean, the cinematography this past season on Game of Thrones has been fantastic. So,
yeah, it that's like, I think the one thing that I have not seen anyone criticize, some of those kind of amazing, epic, iconic shots of Hound staring up at the mountain and the dragon flying. Like I see those images and I go, ooh, I would love to see those in a sort of Star Wars context.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So visually it's hard to argue with. I think I am mostly positive and definitely just always trying to keep an open mind, but a little mixed because it is weird to be going into 3 years from now, kind of a groundbreaking on new Star Wars and already be going in with a lot of mixed feelings.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
right.
So I'm very intrigued by what they want to do. We're going to talk about this a little bit more, too. But I'm also, I appreciate their skill at adapting Game of Thrones, but I don't feel like I know who they are as artists because they haven't done a ton outside of Game of Thrones. Right. So I'm very excited about seeing who they really are and what they really want to create.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the visual stuff. And for better or worse, it's hard to ignore. I love Game of Thrones, and I agree with some of the criticisms about how they handled some of the gender dynamics. Some are amazing to me. So they, you know, Arya and Brienne and Sansa are some of my favorite characters I've seen on a screen, but they have made, I think, some kind of tone deaf choices.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. And going back to I think episode one.
Yeah. Going back to episode one. And I think this is a big part of it, is like they are a mystery. It's hard to pick out. Like, yeah, absolutely. Game of Thrones starts with like this. It's a deep, complex, thoughtful show.
Yeah.
And there have to be breasts now.
Right.
But that's where premium cable television was back then.
HBO.
Yeah.
And that's also coming somewhat from Martin's novels. Right. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
So you look at that and you go, all right, was that? How much of that was them?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I'm worried that there are going to be lots of nudity in Star Wars. That's
yeah.
That's not what I'm saying. But some of their tone deafness, some of the things that we're concerned about, for me, it is hard to pick out what in all these dynamics, what is in Martin's story, what is innate in Martin's story, what is something that HBO wanted and then didn't want, and what is they're just having a little bit of tone deafness.
Yeah, I to some of that specific stuff, some of the rape scenes. So there's some rape scenes that are different perspectives, different focuses. Even if there are in the books or they're not in the books, and they added them in. If the only thing I hope, you know, Star Wars won't have that, but then it's what's beneath those choices.
Yeah.
Is what you're addressing specifically of can they break out of that and can they adapt and adjust is what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
For some of the decisions that maybe they won't have to make, in Star Wars. But again, it's the underlying how they got to those decisions as creators and their team, too, because that's part of the criticism, too, is their team is I think only two female directors. I can't remember. Michelle McLaren, for sure. And I think that might have been it.
I think that was it. I think she directed multiple episodes, but I think she was the only director. Yeah.
Yeah.
But to me, it's just it's subtle matters of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, when do you make sure that you are really seeing things from the perspective that you're giving full due to the perspective of a woman character?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sadly, I mean, the reality is when you're an actress in Hollywood, every project. I mean, even from when you're first starting out, ultra low budget. Must do nudity. Like, it is such a reality. And if you don't do it, you will miss out on a lot of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically with like any sort of premium channel, like that is just like, you just know if you're signing up, even if you're a character, like you're like, there's no way I would do that. No. You might just be undressing or dressing yourself. I mean, it is so baked in that from the executives on, and then they enforce it. And they, I mean, I've had friends have conversations and battles with these executives, like, I don't want to do that. And they're like, well, it's integral for the story and blah, blah. But no, it's to get the eyes on their channel and on the, so I gave them the benefit of the doubt for a lot of that. But there were a couple things where I was like, okay, no, I don't know about that. But I'm hopeful that with Lucasfilm at the reins, they're going to make sure that if there is nudity in Star Wars, that it would be very tasteful. But I doubt it.
And it's less about the nudity to me.
Yeah, right,
I don't think they're going to go, we're going to take 3 years off and then we're going blue.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
sorry,
literally,
kids.
Naked blue people.
Avert those eyes.
But it's more just about that. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a sensitivity to different perspectives.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I could say more about that, but I'm not going to now. I'll do it on other podcasts. Or maybe later. Who knows? Do you think it's good to judge how they'll handle Star Wars based on how they handled Game of Thrones? Since I just did that for 5 minutes.
Oh, no, I think it's absolutely fair. That's your resume, you know. And you've said it, that they were relatively unknown. Benioff did the... He wrote the script for the very bad Deadpool movie, the Wolverine one.
Origins. Well, he wrote a draft. So again,
see again. Yeah. And again, and that's a good point too, because even if your name's listed as the final screenwriter,
yeah,
how many hands touch that script?
Yeah, they don't have anything like, particularly in contrast, like Rian Johnson, who made a bunch of he carved out I wrote and direct this. This is my soul on celluloid.
Mm. Yep.
They have twisty Hollywood projects and I think a couple novels, which I haven't read, so I don't know it from that perspective.
But I know, I think it's 100% fair. I think it's 100% fair because I'm going to give them credit for the good and also means you should get some dings for the bad.
Yeah.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
Yeah. It's absolutely fair. It's why they got this.
Yeah. No, that's a good point, too.
or films because they're using that standard. And that's one of the reasons that supposedly they haven't hired a female director is because Kathleen Kennedy wanted it to be the right time and wanted it to be the right person and blah, 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 blah. So it had to be perfect. It's like, well, okay, if we're going off of resumes, well, yeah, Dan and Dave have a pretty awesome hit show.
Right.
Whether it's, it's mixed in terms of fan reaction. Like, you can't deny that.
Now I'm just imagining a literal resume, printed up on nice resume paper that just says, we made Game of Thrones. Boom.
Yeah, so I think, and that's all we have to go on. I mean, people were referring to Looper with Rian Johnson. Right. You know, that's also part of the fun of it as a fan. What elements from their previous works are they going to bring into Star Wars? And that can get us really excited, or it can get us a little concerned.
And it could change. Well, I was thinking of, as you're speaking, Colin Trevorrow, because I love Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yeah.
And was so excited. And then I'm not a huge Jurassic Park, Jurassic World fan. It's not. So I appreciate it. I enjoy the ride at Universal. And that's kind of my thing. For a lot of people, that is their Star Wars, that generation or anything. So all of a sudden, the first Jurassic World comes out. And I was like, oh, this isn't okay. I understood some of the questions or criticisms. But so that even changes with their resume. And did they hire him based off of Safety Not Guaranteed for Star Wars or Spielberg saying he's good? Don't worry about it. I don't know. So Dan and Dave, even then, it could change. I don't know. Over the time, if that makes any sense. I don't know. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think in a way, if they had just said, we are adapting the Knights of the Old Republic video game series, then to me it would be even more okay, well, they've shown that they're really great at digging into an existing thing, finding the themes and the ideas and building on them and presenting it, but kind of not knowing what it is. Yeah. I know that they are amazing, at adapting something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I don't know what else they're amazing at.
Yeah, and that's the next point. And again, how much is, I know at the start, you hear the stories of them and them, I think one of them on a treadmill with 50 post-its hanging out of the first book and everything. But then Brian Cogman is part of the writing team who is known as the book guy, and he's the lore guy. Mm. And, that's why it's like, hey, Lucas created it. Don't forget to give Gary Kurtz or Marshall Lucas credit all these people along the way. They're the front. But so that's why I do want some of that team maybe to come over. But I don't know. But maybe Brian Cogman's not a Star Wars fan. I don't know. I don't know.
Interesting. Do you think fans are overreacting to the news based on their feelings about Game of Thrones, since we are just in the pitch middle of such strong feelings about Game of Thrones? Obviously, in a way, it seems like, well, great, it makes perfect sense, because both Game of Thrones and Star Wars are things that fans write petitions about. So, of course, it makes sense. But do you feel like fans are maybe overreacting?
Man, I think even we have to answer that with some kid gloves on, right? some nice gloves. I don't know. Jen, you first. You and the fart. No.
I've actually been giving this a lot of thought, and I have not even really tweeted about it because I just didn't want to wade into this. But I will say this. There's two camps. There are the fans that are like, this sucks. We've seen them before. they're coming for Game of Thrones, and they're like, Star Wars is dead, and Game of Thrones sucks, And so it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to, you guys are not offering anything to the conversation. And then there are the people that are like, I have legitimate concerns about representation. I have legitimate concerns about the gender dynamic. I have legitimate concerns about how things felt rushed and story-wise and blah, 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 blah. Like, I think that that's those types of people offering those criticisms, that's fair. That's that's who we are as fans, we're invested in these stories. And that's good discussion, and hopefully great things will come of that. But if you're just like, these guys suck, I just have to tune that out.
Yeah.
Those people are overreacting, in my opinion. But okay. Those people are also generally the people that that's kind of like their brand is that they get angry at everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're really seeing like the difference between discussion, even heated discussion versus just rage.
Exactly. Yeah. Internet rage.
Internet rage and petitions. But do you think, Ken, fans are prejudging 3 years out before you even really know what the project is based on how
strong
their Game of Thrones feelings are?
I think there's some of that, too. And it's been a weird time. We've talked about, I think, off mic and at times, you know, just like it's there's just a different tone this year. That's changed because remember season 7, which also started to bring in some of the criticisms. A lot. That's almost been 2 years, and The Last Jedi came out, and all this kind of stuff. So I can't put my finger on it completely because I never want to invalidate someone's take on a show or opinion. But I also get upset sometimes when I just see people just not understand what they watched, and they criticize based off that incorrect interpretation of
right.
It. You know, Sansa didn't gossip. Sansa used chaos as a tool. That's what's in the story. Mm. Oh, stupid Sansa gossiped and did it. Like, you missed the point. Now you're tweeting a 5-tweet thread about how they got that wrong, where you got it wrong. So I get in a weird headspace. That's why, and I have to admit, I've pulled out and have muted all Game of Thrones words on Twitter and everything. Wow. Just to kind of, not to echo chamber myself, but just like, I just wanted to enjoy this last few bit. So I think sometimes, I have to be fair and direct. I think sometimes the outrage is over the top, but I don't want to invalidate anything that's in it that's a valid discussion point or just your opinion.
Yeah.
Your opinion, man.
Yeah. I think for me, just kind of meditating on what the cultural reaction is, what the cultural conversation is about Game of Thrones. We saw it with Last Jedi. There's a possibility we'll see it with The Rise of Skywalker. There's a possibility we'll kind of, not in a heated way, but live simmering in it for 3 years until this 2022 film comes out. Yeah. And to me, I try to break it down into different thoughts, just wanting to be able to choose to experience the story as a one-on-one viewer of the audience in the story. And I found myself at the end of Game of Thrones unable to just watch it for myself. I was watching it for myself and watching it for what I assumed the fan reaction would be. So like that was in a way that troubled me that I couldn't just step out and go, I just want to absorb this. Mm-hmm. I want to live with it. And then tomorrow I will engage in the community discussion.
Yeah.
So when something gets like so heated that that the story just can't speak to you alone, and that might be my flaw. But there's that element to me of just letting something breathe and letting a piece of art or storytelling speak to us each individually and just being honest and okay and saying, I brought my expectations, hopefully reasonable ones.
Yeah,
I brought my baggage about what I want or what I feel or what I've experienced or what my perspective is. And this story is different to me because of what I brought to it and just sit with that and then go and hear everybody else's perspective. You know, and being able to separate those two things.
And I don't think you're alone in that. I think I've experienced sometimes the same thing where you're watching it and you kind of go, ooh, a lot of people are going to have problems with that.
Exactly.
And I am pulled out of the story and enjoyment. Whether or not I felt it agreed doesn't even really matter. Just in that moment, I'm just kind of like, because I do it on other shows, you know, on some of the other podcasts I'm on where some people aren't as aware of what they're saying. I'm like, and it's not even that I necessarily think that was bad, but it's like you got to be more aware.
Yeah,
and that's okay. That's a good thing because I do it on my shows. But like, and I think you two are the best at it. But like, when you're trying to watch Game of Thrones or anything, and you're like, it does affect it.
Right.
So I know. I think, give or take a few finer points, I think we're in the same boat sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and then there's just the whole. Petition thing, which I do just, I mean, the petition thing is I'm all on board with people who, you know, write great long articles about why they really think the storytelling failed and why they really dislike it. Great.
Right.
Articulate discussions of what you think was done poorly. Great. Mm-hmm. But I want it to be the way I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. Change it is just to me like it's an exercise in futility because it's not going to happen. And it to me starts to dive into that art should be what I say it is rather than you let a storyteller tell their story, and then you choose how you react.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't go in and tell the story.
Yeah.
The problem is that people don't see it as art anymore. That's the problem, is that because things have become so commercialized that people feel like they're customers. And so they're like, well, I'm paying for HBO. I'm paying for to go see this movie. I'm paying for these action figures. I want this specific thing. I've seen this time and time again with people where they're like, well, don't you want to believe that me as a consumer has a voice and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, no, because this is what the artist wants to say. Mm-hmm. And you can choose to appreciate it or choose by not watching it and not spending your money on it.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's just become we're in this really weird place with petition. I mean, like, I think that they're really thinking that they're going to send a message. Yeah. Let them know that I don't like this. And you know.
Yeah, I mean, but
it's the Yelp review. Yeah. It's the Yelp review society.
Yeah, that's what it is.
The world might just be changing because the internet spoke to the manager about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right.
And the director's like, you're right. Mm-hmm. He's creepy. I'll change him.
See, that's the problem.
Yeah, and that upset me. I don't have a dog in the Sonic. Or I don't have a hedgehog in the race.
Right, right.
I don't, but. I got it. Yeah, but yeah, I remember like when that came out, I was cringing. Like, you've just given into a terroristic threat.
Yeah,
as a friend of mine said recently. I think that everything's changed, and that's always not always bad. But this is this post CinemaSins honest trailer, how it should have ended world, which obviously I'm very familiar with the creators of people working on Honest Trailers, and I know they're just trying to make some laughs, and maybe make some points, but they love it all. But it's not always taken as that, and that's not necessarily their fault. It's not CinemaSins' fault. It's not even. But now we're in this part of, you know, ding, Danny wouldn't do that. That's a sin. I want something else, and it's just starting to spiral, which is that's where I'm having. Going back to the question of are they outraged or overreacting to Dan and Dave? It's just sometimes. I think it's this sin, ding, 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 ding. We hate them, and it's just this weird, weird world that we're all trying to navigate.
Yeah,
exactly.
I also just think that there is a difference between fans having their voices heard before a project even begins and once it's cast. So, like, I think having fans go, hey, I'd really love to see an Obi-Wan Kenobi something because I'd be really interested in that. Or, hey, I'd really like to see a film directed by a woman. That's before the thing is made.
Right.
And I think once the thing is made, the die is cast. Right. And to me, it's sort of like going into a restaurant and saying, I would like a taco. And if the restaurant wants to serve you a taco, great. You made a request and they served it. But I think if you go into a taco shop and they bring you a pizza, you can't be like, you screwed up. Like, no, that's what this place is. That's what they gave you. It is what it is now, and you get to respond to it.
Right. Yeah.
It's a good taco or a bad taco, but you can't make it a pizza with a petition.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point, too, of things going before, wants and desires. And it's weird, because we hear a lot of, well, no one asked for Solo. I mean, I don't know. Some people might have.
If somebody asked me, I would have said yes.
Yeah. It's weird. And there's this general conversation. You know, you hear that a lot. I hear that from a lot of pundits. Well, no one asked for Solo. That's totally true. But I like the result. So I'm glad someone thought about it, because I didn't ask for it either. But then after, I think that's an excellent point, Joseph, then after it's this different.
I think that Kasdan's asked for it.
Kasdan's and I think George.
All right. So we spent a little bit of time on that because I think it is just such a big part of the discussion in the culture right now, but we'll get into some more specifics of this upcoming Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Do we think this is the start of a trilogy? This is the thing that's either, depending on your perspective, intriguing or annoyingly confusing that they announced the date of three films. He very specifically said that first one is Dan and Dave. So where does that leave us? Jennifer, do you have thoughts, speculation, desires?
This is a real mystery. He's being so, I mean, because the reality is movies take a long time to make. And so they know, it's not a wait and see approach, right? It's not like they're going to see how Dan and Dave do. Okay, you can continue with the trilogy. It is whether or not Rian Johnson is still actively working on this. If they've shifted him to the streaming service, if they've canceled him completely, I have no idea And then if we do the alternating, like was what we talked about, to me, I feel like that then you kind of lose momentum.
And you possibly confuse the audience.
Absolutely.
Unless they're really, really distinct.
Right. So I don't, or maybe they're not doing trilogies anymore. Maybe they're just doing, did you say that? I can't remember.
No, I don't think there's been anything conclusively said. I mean, I think seeing three films as Star Wars fans, your mind goes to trilogy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But there's no guarantee that that's what it is.
Mm. Yeah, and I think, you know, it's weird to me if it goes beyond. So they're doing a trilogy, and say Ryan's still doing his trilogy, and they're alternating every 2 years, not even 1 year.
Yeah. Right.
That's a time commitment that I still think one of the reasons Dan and Dave decided, you know, you hear now HBO wanted 10 episodes for final season, and they got one at 6, is they just didn't want to. Sometimes you just want to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Want to go home.
So yeah, you're in camp. They put their foot on the gas a little bit.
I think so. Yeah. You know, I go to some of the examples of some of the actors in the asking off the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they were like, we can't kill you yet. But they want it off because it's 10 years of their life. And I think there's something to that. So I'm not saying that they don't, or that Rian Johnson wouldn't want to spend the next 10 years working on his own trilogy, but I just don't see that happening, which is why those release dates were the first big confusion I've had about what's coming.
Yeah. Right.
I've had a pretty clear Zen-like approach. I'll see what's going on. Get the Gonk movie, get the Gonk droid movie. But now I'm like, man, I can't imagine Rian going 2024, 2028, 2030.
No
I think this is like such a great example of the not great confusion, because instead of speculating about the actual thing we're being given, our natural thing is to talk about what does it mean for the other thing you've announced.
Right.
So we're already not talking about the actual thing. We're talking about the potential absence of the other thing.
Yeah, well, it's kind of weird because they announced the other. If they had never told us that we were getting a trilogy from Rian Johnson, I mean, we wouldn't even be talking about this.
Yeah, I'd just be like, cool, next Star Wars is Dan and Dave, all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a natural reaction if the parents like, oh yeah, this is happening. And then they're like, okay, so this is what's coming up. Yeah, but what happened to the other thing you told us about?
Like, exactly.
You can't just withhold that information. So that's why I find it to be, that's why I think there might be some speculation that there's something bad happening. Like maybe Rian Johnson was fired or, you know, I've seen that going around. But I don't know. They're just, they're in the planning stages.
Yeah. Well, we've talked a lot about speculation, but I want to know wants from my fellow Star Wars fans here. Yeah. Do you, a two-part question. Do you want Dan and Dave to be doing a trilogy in those three announced movies to just be a nice, clean Star Wars trilogy 2 years apart, nice and focused? And also, what do you want the fate of Rian Johnson's movies to be? Do you want it to be postponed, canceled, moved to Disney Plus? What do you want?
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know, I was a fan of Ryan, fan of not only just what he did, but how he handled what happened. So I want him to still play in the Star Wars universe. But that said, it's probably just this weird mental growing up with trilogies and Star Wars. I just want it 2024, 2022, 2024, 2026 to be one trilogy.
Yeah. That we can all kind of just invest in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what do you want that to mean for Ryan's films?
That maybe they're later, maybe they're another project.
Yeah.
Maybe it's rolled into one.
Do you want the possibility of them working together?
I do want the possibility of them working together.
Yeah. Interesting.
Oh.
Yeah. Very interesting.
I'm open to it. I like the idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so interesting. You know, with Dan and Dave and seeing how this season of Game of Thrones has gone, I think that I'd like for them to take their time. You know, if they want those three films, let them have the three films to tell their story. And I think that that's what they do so well, is telling these epic stories that are complicated with lots of characters. And we'll talk about what we speculate the movie will be about. But I think that giving them a trilogy, all right, that's fine. I don't know. Poor Rian Johnson. I mean, he really is put up with a lot from the fans. I think that maybe Lucasfilm was trying to like protect him a little bit so he doesn't get bombarded again.
Yeah.
Moving him to the streaming service would in some ways kind of like be a safer space for him.
Yeah. In the current version of is being on the streaming service lesser. I mean,
right.
You know, because there's all this still the battle stuff. Like, well, you're in the theater for a week, so you know, maybe Dave and Dan's movies are big releases, but Rian Johnson's are set up to be Oscar bait, you know?
Oh. Like,
you know, who knows? I think for myself, I do kind of just want it to be a clean trilogy, but then there's a part of me that thinks that can't be what it is, because it's just too much of a mess.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a part of me that was like, well, maybe they really looked at it, maybe they really discussed it, and Dan and Dave just did say, we want to do a cool one-shot. Mm-hmm. We have an idea for a one-shot. It doesn't need to be a trilogy. It's going to be a real fun Star Wars movie.
Mm.
And then maybe 2024 is when Rian Johnson's trilogy starts. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like my kind of imagination has been teased with what Rian Johnson's trilogy could be.
Yeah.
And I feel like I know more about who Rian Johnson is as a creator. So I don't want his to just go away.
Mm-hmm.
I would be kind of amazed with if it was just like the absolute sort of a model of patience of Rian Johnson's, like, yep, we started developing ideas, and I am going to make them in the 2030s.
Yeah.
I have that patience. Oh. Like, that's the plan.
That'd be planned.
Yeah, that'd be pretty amazing to be planned out that far in advance. So, yeah.
It's so weird to hear you, even as you talk, because I think we're all in the same boat of, like, you can't separate the fact that the news was out there.
Yeah.
And they have the right to change, but then not, I mean, 2 weeks, or when was Celebration? 2 days ago?
Yeah.
A month ago. Kathleen Kennedy's talking about, oh, Rian and Dan and Dave are meeting. Like, you're just like, there's so much different information at times.
Right? Yeah, and maybe it is that they're the cool interlocking in some way, and maybe it'll be a big surprise, but there's something about me that just, you know, it's three movies, that's a trilogy.
Yep.
All right, so how would we feel if that 2022 movie is about the Old Republic? You know what, I'll just go first on this. Mm-hmm. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. That to me just makes the most sense of you want something fresh and new, you want something unexplored, but it's also filled with familiarity it's exciting, the idea of thousands of Jedi fighting thousands of Sith and all of the philosophical implications. Plus, you think about Dan and Dave, and you think about Good, Bad, or Otherwise. This final season had some epic battles that were shot beautifully in, you know, insanely, you know, iconic shots in this last episode. Drogon's wings behind Danny. And imagine that applied to the Jedi are still have a different kind of philosophy. They're building it. The Sith are, there are thousands of them. So they don't have the sort of, you know, creepy insidious. We work in the shadows. They're just straight out fighting.
Yeah.
Constantly. Like, there's so much juicy stuff there to me.
Yeah. I mean, there was one point during the long night, episode three this year, when the battle starts and Jorah, Ghost, and the Dothraki are riding off with their flaming swords, and there's the flaming, the trebuchets have launched. And I'm thinking, I can't believe I'm seeing this on television.
Yes.
And I would love some of that. That's why I look at Miguel Sapochnik is kind of the one who's been bringing all that big battle stuff.
Yeah.
Whether or not they carry on to. Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm getting off into the details again. I as I've said several times, I'm not familiar with the Old Republic. I didn't play the game. I'm never a huge fan. I read the first Bane novel, but I'm excited to, like, finally let's put that down to paper.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is the time period when we see the Old Republic, you know, we can zero in on an adaptation.
Yeah.
But there's also just, there's thousands and thousands of years where there were lots of Jedi and lots of Sith, and we know that there were wars. But in modern canon, it's kind of wide open to do whatever storytelling you want.
Yeah.
And if you want more details, of course, you know, our great friend Alex and Molly over at Star Wars Explained have videos that really dial into what is in canon and what isn't when you talk about Old Republic.
Mm.
Jennifer, how do you feel about Old Republic?
I've come around. To quote some angry fans, well, I never asked for the Old Republic, which is true. I never have. but, you know, this past season of Game of Thrones with these shots that you guys are mentioning and the battle sequences, which there have been some epic battles over the past few seasons, to me, it gets me excited. It makes me feel like they are the right people to do the Old Republic.
Yeah.
That they could get me excited about it. Because otherwise, I'm like, meh. But when I think about it in the context of Game of Thrones, I'm like, ooh, that could be really good. Jedi? Okay, let's do it. So,
yeah,
I'll take it.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, it just makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's if the reporting, the guesses about Dan and Dave doing the Old Republic are correct, I think in some ways that's the thing I'm most excited about. Of like, that's a good move. Good move for Star Wars, I think.
Yeah.
How would you feel if it's an adaptation of any existing material? So Ken, you kind of ran down some of them. They're you know, novels, they're comic books from back in the day. There's the Knights of the Old Republic video game.
Yeah. This is the most complicated topic we've had in a while. Because I work hard not to, you know, I want to acknowledge everyone's wants and desires. I don't want it to be an adaptation of Knights of the Old Republic game.
Yeah.
I haven't played it, so I don't know how great it is. I just don't want it because then people are going to have the same old...
More baggage.
And that's not how it goes. And then on the other side, I want something completely fresh and new, but then I think we'll get some of the same thing. Or, they should have just done the Knights of the Old Republic. And it's kind of, you can't win for losing.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the ones who will give them a lot more credit in the early seasons of Game of Thrones for putting in things that are some of my favorite things that are nowhere near the books.
Okay.
And I think that's forgotten sometimes.
Right.
There was no real clear, they have left the books point. It got more obvious, but going back, so I think they can bring good stuff to it that's not an adaptation.
Yeah.
But just you can't win.
Yeah.
You just can't.
Okay. In the interest of time, I will say ditto.
Yeah.
I agree with all that. Jennifer?
Yeah, I don't know. Part of me is like, well, it might be good for them to have a little bit of a map. Obviously, it was very successful for Game of Thrones when they were adapting from the book. But then there's expectations. Fans will get upset if those expectations are not met. And so that's where I'm like, well, maybe they should just come up with something new.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. In terms of coming up with something new, I'm curious what your sense of who Dan and David are as artists, what interests them as storytellers. Like, obviously, they were drawn to Game of Thrones, but so are, you know, millions of people who read the book and thought it was awesome. Mm-hmm. Ken, you were saying that they added more to the show, that they weren't just doing, I guess it is an adaptation, but they were adding a lot, and some of that probably came from a very real and very personal place. Do you have a sense of who they are as storytellers?
I don't. Yes and no. I think I'm just thinking. So the scenes that I love all seem to really play with the delicious point of view and gray area thing. So maybe that's what pulled them in. Like a lot of people, Song of Ice and Fire is there's no clear cut hero and villain. And in fact, one of the journeys we may have been following was a villain origin story, but I don't think she's a villain, you know, like, but so I'm specifically going to some stuff with, Jaime and Cersei, Cersei and Robert Baratheon and Tywin and Arya, where you're just learning, you're taking these characters that you think, oh, that's an evil guy, but then you're getting a little wrinkle. He still might be an evil guy, but now you have something to think about. And I think they're drawn to that, and I think that's what they had the most fun playing with.
Yeah.
What does that make as artists or storytellers? They just like gray areas or they don't choose sides? I don't know. But I would love some of that, in particularly if it's going to be the Jedi and the Sith in any kind of formation.
Yeah. To me, it speaks to like it being interested in the idea of, you know, actions making your destiny.
Yeah,
because you know, there's so much in that storytelling of like, oh, well, I can understand how Tywin got to think that, but it is unacceptable that he did any of the things that he did in support of that theory.
Yeah,
in same thing with Cersei. Jennifer, do you have any sense?
Yeah, I agree with you, Ken. I think that they're so good at making these quote unquote bad characters really likable, but then you remind yourself, no, they're bad, and then they do something to remind you again that they are bad people. So I think that the gray area that they play in is really fun. I think that they enjoy it. Just thinking about like those behind the scenes things that they show after the show, it seems like they really love to play around and like family dynamics, relationships amongst the characters, and really motivations of the characters themselves. I mean, I know there's been a lot of criticism this past season about that, but I think that that's what really gets them excited. It's getting into these characters' heads. Why are they doing that? What do they ultimately want? What are their goals? And
yeah, so. I was going to say, like, yeah, it's so hard to pick it out from what's already happening in Martin's novels,
right?
Thematic goals are, but it does seem like from those behind the scenes, which in some ways are like our best evidence of who they are as creators. They do seem really interested in finding the personal in the epic.
Yes.
Which is what makes me really interested of like, oh, Old Republic would be amazing, unseen Force Jedi Sith, maybe Mandalorian battles. But then also we'd really have to know like, well, who is this Jedi who's in charge? Who's making these decisions? Why are they personally making those decisions? Are they making them in the best interest of the Jedi, in the best interest of the war, or is it because there's something haunting that Jedi that that Jedi can't get past? Like that kind of stuff would be, I think, fresh.
That's what they even said in a couple episodes ago with Arya. The reason why they chose Arya to be running through the city was because they were like, after a while, it would just get boring if it was just like chaos with fire and things falling. They're like, we needed a character that you obviously have emotion towards, and having her be the point of view for the audience. And that was going to raise the stakes and make it much more exciting to watch than just like, you know, 15 minutes of just people screaming and whatever and dying.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think a good choice, since she has that specific relationship with death in all of its forms. And, and there she is seeing another form of it.
Yeah.
So I think this 2022 movie is going to be, in some ways, a big reset for Star Wars.
Yeah.
To borrow from the Marvel discussion, this is going to be Disney Star Wars Phase 2.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to be accomplished by this Star Wars reset?
Peace. The fandom promised us peace.
Yeah.
Maybe. I hate to say it. You know, we're so positive, but it's just a bit of a clearing of the decks, a little bit. I am, you know, so excited for episode 9. We all are, but you know, that's another ending of a saga.
Yeah.
Endings create a lot of opinions.
Yes.
So I think we might need. But I think the TV shows are going to run too. But. It's no doubt that there's a difference between film and television streaming, whatever. So I'm hoping a fresh start for some fans.
Yeah.
The ones who aren't as happy and everything. I want you to experience the joys some of us are still experiencing. And maybe this is a good chance to just really, truly reset.
Yeah. Reset the joy.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer?
Yeah. I want them to have a game plan. I want them to have a very clear vision for what the direction that they want Star Wars to go. I think that that will make people, fans, feel better.
Yeah.
I think it'll make them feel better. They're like, no, we got a plan. And then I also hope that not having Star Wars on the big screen will make people miss it, and they'll get back to the joy of it, as you're saying, Ken. Like, it's gotten to a really, I don't want to say ugly place, but a place where I'm just like, I dread for some of the reactions that are going to be happening after episode 9. I just, it makes me sad. I don't want to have that. I want it to be fun. I want it to be a communal fun experience. Like, Star Wars has always been throughout my life. And so I hope that by taking it away, I mean, we'll have it on the streaming service, but by taking it away from the movies, we'll get back to that.
Back to that big, Star Wars is back in the theaters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I hope that whatever the actual story is, that it feels really new while having the history of Star Wars, sort of the depth of, the thematic ideas underpinning it. But, visually, it looks new.
Yeah.
Storyline-wise, it feels new, but it's got those, a good analysis and a different approach on some of the big themes that Lucas has always been interested in, so it feels fresh. Do you think Dan and Dave will direct? And if not, what are your hopes there? Because I think that's a big part of this, how fans will receive it in these next 3 years. Because right now it's just they're writing and producing.
Yeah, I don't think they'll direct. I mean, they've got a little bit of experience. I know the director of the finale and everything. I don't even think they think they're the best directors out there. Okay. You know what I mean? So I don't think they will.
Yeah.
I don't think they will.
Jennifer? Yeah.
I don't think they're going to direct. I think that they could really make some fans happy if they hire... they're writing it, so I don't know. Maybe if who they choose as the director is going to be very, very important.
Yeah.
So pick wisely. That's all I have to say. Otherwise, you might get a petition.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't think that they would direct, but then seeing that they did, I know they directed each an episode in the past and that they co-directed the final episode. And honestly, there's a lot of great visual moments I really loved in it. But yeah, there's a part of me that does feel like as a sort of reaching out to lots of different fans saying, yes, they're writing and producing, but we're also going to have a different voice coming in as a director. So it's a real team project.
Yeah,
I think would be interesting to me. We talked about that third Star Wars TV show. We're all pretty much hoping for Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
Yeah.
We asked for it.
Yeah.
But we're open to other things too. So we're going to wrap up our conversation here. When and how do you think we're going to get more clarity on what that 2022 movie is, what that third TV show is, if that 2022 movie is just a movie or a trilogy? When do you think all that's going to spill out?
Man, I mean, I'm looking at D23, which is not too far away.
Okay.
I think they want to control their own narrative sometimes. Or Iger says it at a breakfast bar at a Holiday Inn Express. I don't know, but I think I'd like that. Because even in hearing our own words in discussion, it's something you can't separate our hopes as a fan versus the realities of the business. You know, I just maybe going, Dan and Dave are on a vacation, but they're coming back and they're choosing this person to direct and help them tell this story. I hope it's soon.
Yeah.
I hope it's soon. Maybe they want to wait till after 9, but then rumors will start forcing the narrative, the news narrative.
That's probably the most realistic answer. Mm-hmm. Jennifer?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want it to be another IgerCon. I want for them to seem excited about it and to be proud to share this news. I do wonder if D23 is a little sooner
soon.
It's soon, right? So there's a celebration next year though, right?
Yeah.
So maybe at next year's celebration, they're going to give the Mandalorian some time to breathe. They're going to give episode 9 some time to shine. So next year they'll announce their game plan. We'll see.
Yeah. That's kind of my hope is that after episode 9, and after the Disney Plus streaming is launched, that there will be these drips and drops from IgerCon so that we kind of have the picture so that then by the time we get to Star Wars Celebration, then you have the big panel where it's like, you've heard this piece, but here it is all coming together. Mm. And here we are beginning to really present it to the fans. I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
Final weird question for fun. If you could pick the title of the movie in 2022, what would it be?
yeah. The dark side rises, but that's too dark. I don't know. A lot of rises. Right. We get a lot of those and rises.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I'll go with spark of joy.
Spark of joy.
Mostly as a joke answer. Mostly.
Game of sabers.
There, Jennifer wins.
There you go.
Jennifer has a puppy and the best answer. Jennifer wins for center today, as far as I'm concerned.
Would you play the game of sabers?
We're just leaning into. It's the only thing we've ever done.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there's like an Iron Throne, but their instead of swords are all lightsabers. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, like those crossover t-shirts.
We, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, have there been crossover t-shirts like that? Yeah.
So many.
So many.
Thank you, Joseph, for leading us through an interesting multi-layered conversation that's still not done about the next Star Wars. But it's I think it's a good time to start having that conversation. The good, the bad, the tough. Good stuff. Good stuff. I think I'm still thinking. Still thinking.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
A lot there.
Yeah, and as always, these are our opinions. We're three Star Wars fans, and we recognize there are many, many opinions out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's go to some of your questions and opinions through our audience question segments. Oh, we love doing this. And this one's from Patrick Fisher. 1,000 generations live in you now. Everyone thinks that quote from the Rise of Skywalker trailer is Luke talking to Rey. What are the odds it's actually Luke talking to Kylo/Ben?
Ooh.
Good question. Jennifer's puppy, Mala, what's your answer?
Oh my gosh, that is a really interesting idea, if it is Kylo Ben.
Kylo Ben.
I mean, could that be like when, during his redemption part, the redemption part of his story? Like maybe he's now turning to good. Or maybe they're trying to get him to be good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Gosh, these things, I feel like they misdirect us all the time.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's my main feeling is I don't want the trailer personally to be that much of an emotional misdirect. Mm. I want all those things to be able to apply to Ben if he makes good choices.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I think that's kind of what it is. Rey has stepped up and she's taken the mantle. She's taken the lessons. She's read the Jedi texts, one could guess. And Ben hasn't yet. So I like the idea that we're talking to Rey with the hope that Ben will listen and adopt the mantle as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. For me, I like the idea that it is what it is. It's Rey and it's setting up what we got, the legend of our time. And
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Last Jedi trailer, I wouldn't say it had complete misdirects. It let you play with some stuff, but also in the end kind of told you what was happening.
Luke was quite clear.
Yeah.
That's Luke what he thought.
Right.
He thought it was time for the Jedi to end.
Yep.
That was not a misdirect.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I think it is what it is, Patrick. I think it is what it is, but a good thought, and I'm sure a lot of people have that as well. Spencer Lo Schiavo writes, do you guys think that the Knights of Ren may be responsible for bringing Palpatine back? Ooh, little Knights of Ren intrigue, Joseph.
Yeah. If it's told well, I think that would be a really cool thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I definitely want Knights of Ren to be a part of it. I want to learn more about it. I'd be fine if they were a cool, weird, dark side culty organization that could have the ability to bring Palpatine back. I also like the idea of Palpatine coming back, as we talked about before. Like, I don't personally want this story to have been, I was pulling Snoke's strings all the time. Mm-hmm. In theory, if it's executed well, I'd really love that idea.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea, Jen.
That's a really great idea. And it kind of gives them something more to do, because my fear is that they're just going to appear for one quick scene.
Just stand behind Kylo and go like, he's badass. He's
exactly,
our leader.
Right.
Don't mess with him.
They're the hype men.
Yeah. Kylo's hype men.
Yeah, right.
The Knights of Hype.
I don't want that. So give them something to do. But you're right. They have to tell that story well. Otherwise, it could come across a little weird.
I think I
love the possibility that maybe they're unhappy with the good old Kylo Ren Ben, and maybe they want some new leadership around these parts.
Ooh. Yeah, nice.
I can see that.
Yeah,
that's good.
Or they just stand in the background and go, "Yep, we're the Knights of Ren."
were the knights, the manly knights.
And we're here to say we love Palpatine in the biggest way.
Going over to Patreon with a question from Daniel Locke. Daniel writes, do you have any difficulty reconciling how different events within the Star Wars canon fit together? I really enjoy both the Clone Wars and the prequels, for example, but have trouble accepting that Anakin from Clone Wars becomes the Anakin in Revenge of the Sith, both due to change from animation to live action and the different actor. As Star Wars continues to expand in this modern era of canon, this has come up and will come up again. And it's weird, Joseph, like, hey, we want to see Dr. Aphra on live action, which is a great thought.
Yeah.
But it might not match up. It's a good thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there can always be a little hiccup from the not only the animation, but the fact that Clone Wars can take the time to tell both smaller intimate stories and sort of big galaxy changing stories. And in Revenge of the Sith, your foot is just kind of on the gas. I think for me, the two things I think about Anakin in particular is I think that the prequels spend maybe a little bit more time reminding us that he's got darkness in him and he's going to fall. Mm-hmm. And so we don't get as many moments seeing the great hero Anakin Skywalker. But I love all of the great hero Anakin Skywalker stuff in the beginning of Revenge of the Sith, where he's really not going to let his master die. He's really concerned about the fate of the clones. You really see him as somebody who cares about people, and I see that as the Anakin that's in the Clone Wars. Mm. And I also feel like, yep, there's some different choices between Hayden and Matt Lanter, but to me, it Clone Wars is George Lucas's baby, no matter how much he's like, hey, Dave Filoni, go write this.
Right.
So I feel like, to me, it's the Clone Wars is an opportunity for George Lucas to spend more time with kind hero Anakin Skywalker, and it better sets up the tragedy of his fall.
Tragedy of Anakin's fall, Jen.
Yeah, I feel like I just kind of compartmentalize it all. And I feel like if you're a kid watching all this, I think that you're probably going to watch the Clone Wars, and then maybe as you get a little bit older, you might watch Revenge of the Sith. I don't know. I don't know. But I feel like then it's kind of a natural progression to that character. And then I think about the Vader that we saw in Rogue One and how terrifying that was. I'm still wrestling with that. But I just like to compartmentalize it as just all these different stories and different sides to this character.
Yeah.
Giving it more dimension.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, it's a challenge. I always do that test of, if I read a comic book, is this Luke Skywalker the same one that I see at the beginning of Empire Strikes Back? And sometimes it doesn't seem that way. But I think what we, I don't want to speak for you both, but I think what we kind of preach here at Force Center is just kind of peel back some of those layers, and you'll find the emotional canon, those connections there. And I think it's there with Anakin. There's some things that are just going to be different, like Joseph said, just two different actors giving two different performances and takes. But I think, Daniel, I think if you look and you find it and you connect the threads and wait for this final season of Clone Wars, we get one more.
Oh, yeah.
Which is going to maybe take us closer. Maybe we'll connect for you a little bit better there. But it's a mini Star Wars counseling, but we have the counselor here. So maybe, Joseph, you can schedule a follow-up.
Oh, yeah. Follow-up appointment, Daniel. Let me know.
Final thought here coming from Laura Martin. What's an obscure reference you'd like to see vaguely alluded to in The Rise of Skywalker? I think it'd be fun to hear some mention of Kasha Batine, Lando's love interest in Last Shot. That's a really good answer.
That's a great answer.
All right, Laura, great thought starter. What do you got, Jen?
I mean, if they are on Endor, I want them to mention Nyssa. Let's go real obscure. Where people are gonna be like, what? Are they really referencing that cartoon? Yes, they are, because it's good.
Yeah. I would love an Ewok reference if it's Nyssa.
Yeah,
if it's Nyssa, or if it's just a Poe and Finn going like, you know, that's where the little bear guys come from. I don't want them actually to say little bear guys. That's a little too meta, but it would just seem like they seem to all have been raised on the amazing tales of the events of the original trilogy and know them all. So I feel like they would know like, hey, we're over here on this other planet, but you know that moon is over there where the the scary little guys live.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In a weird way, it works for Poe and Finn, because at one point in 7 and 8, they've both said some things that are sometimes a little meta or outside the realm of Star Wars. Love it or not.
Cute boyfriend, big ass door.
Right. It would be, I could see that. And even we're the Crystal Critters.
Yeah.
And the murder bears, maybe they'll wear the t-shirt from our Force Center shop there.
That'd be great. But not just to steal yours. The other one I would say that I can't get out of my mind, it would be fun to slip in, is just the Claudia Gray alcohol verse. She's made up so many different cool in-world alcohols, including the jet juice and the Tanqueray, the Alderaanian wine. It's just like a little, like, this doesn't change the plot, but it's an acknowledgement of that larger canon.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
I've never really thought about seeing some on-screen drinking in the movie.
Sure. Because
it's pretty prominent in the books and
real
comics.
Real prominent, yeah.
It's there a lot. So, yep, that's right. The two whiskey drinkers from Data Bank Brawl really want alcohol in Star Wars. The Ewok thing is, it's not far from my heart either. If Wicket married Nyssa and they rule Brightree Village together, or she's the ruler and he's her hand, whatever you want to say, I'm fine with that. Because it would make sense if they're on if the Death Star stayed in that system and collapsed on any one of the moons or Endor Prime or whatever. Yeah, I know that's not the name. It would make sense if someone would be like, "Hey, didn't we win some big? It'd be like going to like Disneyland and go like, you want to go to California Adventure?
Right.
Yeah. Maybe pop over the roller coaster. Yeah, let's go see it." So there, some little stuff there. Maybe some classic characters. A mention of Wedge, I don't know, something like that.
Sure.
Wedge mention.
It could work. It could work indeed. I will say the one I always want, and I say a lot, is maybe finally get an on-screen mention of Ray Sloan in the big screen.
That would be great.
Yeah, maybe a framed photo of Ray Sloan in like the First Order offices.
Huck stares at it.
Stares. Yeah. Thank you to Laura, Daniel, Spencer and Patrick for your questions. We'll tell you a little bit where to reach out. Power of the Light Side, Joseph, you have sent out some requests.
Yes, and I'll send out even more if you're one of our patrons at the $10 or higher level. We would love to hear what you love in Star Wars.
Absolutely. We are almost out of here, but here's where you can find us if you have thoughts. Want to join the conversation? You can reach out on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Like us on Facebook. Our website is forcecenterpod.podomatic.net. TeePublic. Like I mentioned, get that iHeart Murder Bear shirt. It's at teepublic.com/user/Force Center. Tweet us those pics where we share them. Podcasts available in a lot of places, including Podomatic, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and more. We're on YouTube as well at Animated Data Bank Brawl. Still one of the favorite things we've done here at Force Center. Check it out. And on Patreon, Joseph.
That's right. We're at patreon.com/Force Center. And very soon, we have the unlocked audio and video commentary of A New Hope that will be arriving in this very galaxy very soon. That was all made possible by our great patron. So if you want to help us keep growing and going, go to patreon.com/Force Center.
Absolutely. We got our own stuff we're working on, not just rescuing puppies, Jen. What else you got? By the way, this puppy, Mala, the entire show, calmly sleeping in your lap. Just what a bean.
Oh. There was one time right after I said something, she looked at me and winked, and I didn't know if it was like, I agree with what you said, or you're full of crap.
But
there was
a little
wink.
She's been really good. If you'd like to see photos of her, I'll tweet some photos or share some photos on Instagram, at Jennifer Landa, Facebook, whatever, all the social media sites. I know them. I'm there.
Yes, Joseph.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and all the other sites, too, that I'm not going to list either. You can go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for live shows, comedy albums, all kind of stuff like that. And my podcast, Obsessed, my wife Sarah and I are going to be doing a breakdown about our feelings of Game of Thrones. So if you're a Game of Thrones fan and want to hear more discussion, the ups and downs, the joys and the triumphs from our perspective, you can find it coming out this week on Obsessed.
Highly recommend that. You can go to kennapsock.com. Same thing. It's all on there, from books to podcasts that are too many to list. It's all there, kennapsock.com.
And you do want to give a shout out for your book, right?
Yes,
look,
it's been
a wonderful time. Why Below Star Wars? It's been overwhelming to meet the fans. No one's read it yet. So we'll see there. And the foreword by Joseph, which is just beautiful, and Jennifer's perspective on Leia, which was very needed and important to that particular essay. I hope you all can check it out. It's available there, and it's going to be there. It's evergreen, and then, you know, it's been a weird experience. It's been a weird experience, but a wonderful one. Wonderful one. And you can get all information on kentknapsack.com. I spent a lot of time reworking that website. A lot of time. That's it for now. This was an interesting topic today, and I'm glad we discussed it, and it's not done. We want to hear your thoughts too as well. Reach out, right out. But Star Wars, it's still coming. We got more on the way in 2022. We'll see you next time on 4Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.